Hello, welcome to the Grace Life Podcast. The message you're about to hear, if diligently applied, will absolutely change your life. We're praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, thereby allowing the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. Now let's join the service already in progress with Pastor West.
Hallelujah. Let's stay in the attitude of worship for a moment. Glory be to God. You know, the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of each and every one of us. How many of you agree with that?
Amen.
But you know this, He has to be welcome. He can live on the inside of you, but if you don't welcome Him in our midst and give Him place to move and to minister, then He won't do very much. Amen, because He's a gentleman. So let's give Him place right now. Father, we thank You for the Holy Ghost. We thank You that He lives on the inside of us, but we also give Him place today to move. Father, we thank You for who He is on the inside of us. We thank You, Lord, that He's the power of God. We thank You, Lord, that He's the joy of God. He's the comfort of God. He knows all things. Therefore, He came to minister today. He came to give answers. He came to set free. No matter what the subject that we teach, if as long as it's the Word of God, as long as it's You're here and You are because we brought You, and as long as we give You place, then You can move, You can teach, You can deliver, You can heal, You can set free, because we know, Father God, You're alive today. Hallelujah. We serve a God that's alive. He's not dead. He's no longer in a grave, but He's walking alive in each and every one of us today. And every step that you take, He takes. Every time you open your mouth and speak the word of God, then He speaks. When you stretch forth your hand to heal, He stretches forth His hand to heal. As you speak His word to set someone free, do you know you have the power and ability to tell someone you've been set free? Amen. Amen. You are the hands and the feet of Jesus. Glory to God. So Holy Spirit, we welcome You. We thank You in advance for impartations. We thank You in advance for things that You will reveal and show. I thank You, Lord, for callings to be stirred today. I thank You, Lord, it was prayed forth this morning as the prayer group got together that the enemy has tried to shoot darts. Fiery darts have been shot of doubt and unbelief. And there's someone here that's present today, they've shot darts, and those darts have penetrated even the hearts of mind of someone here today. And those darts of doubt and unbelief, they've come to say, oh, am I really called? They've come to say, did God really say that? They've come to say, am I really in the place that I should be? And will the promise really come to pass? Will the word that's been spoken to me, or will the dream that I had in my heart, will it surely come to pass? But the Spirit of God is here today to say this, that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. No matter the distraction, no matter the obstacle, no matter the hardship, my plans never changed. Glory to God. My love never fails and my love never changes. And who I am on inside of you has not decreased, but it's just the same. Glory be to God. So therefore, the anointing has not lifted. The anointing has not changed, but it's just the same as it was the day that you were born again. Yes, you can grow in knowledge. Yes, you can grow in understanding. But the fullness of who I am on the inside of you came the minute that you were born again. And when you were born again, a new creation was formed. And when that new creation was formed, a calling, a purpose, glory to God, was put on inside of you. In fact, while you were still in your mother's womb, I knew you. And when I knew you there, I called you, I set you aside, and I put a plan and purpose on inside of you. Glory be to God. Amen. Amen. So today we're going to rejoice. Amen. Today we're going to be excited about the plan of God. Today we're going to be excited the fact that each and every one of you have been made special. You've been created with purpose, on purpose, with a purpose, and for a purpose. Amen. Say this with me. Say, God didn't make a mistake. Amen. But He made me with purpose. Amen. Well, you can be seated. Amen. Glory be to God. I'm excited about bringing the word today. Glory to God. I'm going to share with you about our trip to Peru. But as Brother Key said, mixed in with that, we're going to preach some word. Amen. It's in there and it's going to come out. It's kind of like stirring up a hornet's nest. You hit it with a stick, something's going to come out. Amen. You ever do that as a kid? You find a wasp nest somewhere, something on a hot summer day, you just wanted something to do, and you went over and stirred it up and took off running. That's not very smart, but, you know, I had a preacher in Bible school. He said he used to call it fighting bees, that he'd go find a bee's nest somewhere, and they had two ping pong paddles. And he said, well, he'd send one of his buddies out there, and they'd go up, either a bee or hornet, I can't remember which one, they'd go stir up the nest, and then he'd stand back about 20, 30 yards. He'd stand there with them two paddles ready, and, man, they'd come at him, and he'd pop them down one at a time. Wow, wow, wow. just having fun. Well, if you stir it up, something's going to come out. You know, that's the reason the Word tells us to stir up the gift that's on inside of us. Amen. How many of you on Monday morning, you just jump out and you got lightning bolts shooting out your feet? Just man, you know, Brother Hagin used to say that people thought he used to run and jump in his clothes, you know, that he was so special that they just stood up for him. And he got out of bed and ran across the room and jumped, and he just landed in his pants. And he said, I put my socks on one at a time like you do and put my pants on like you do. You know, we don't wake up all the time just all spiritual and goosebumps, do we? I don't know. Maybe you do. Maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. But, you know, sometimes I don't wake up that way. Sometimes I look like, you know, 10 miles of bad road, and my breath might not smell that great. I may have to get up and kind of, like Pastor Budgie said, I got to hitch in my get along. You know, I may have to kind of walk around in the bedroom a little bit and, you know, get going and moving. But, you know, in those moments, what we do and the decision we make is what's so important. Because it's not about how we feel. It's not about the obstacles. It's not about what we're dealing with, what we're going through. But it's about what God says and what He is on the inside of us and what He's made us. Amen. As I'm telling you, the moment you got born again, I'm going to go ahead and just kind of stir up some religious devils right now. I want to ask you, how many of you blameless people do we have in here? Now, I see some in the back. Blameless. How many blameless people do we have here? Amen. Everybody, I'll be raising a hand. Well, if you're born again and you're covered in the blood of Jesus, the Word says you've been made blameless. In fact, the scripture that he read fits so good with what we're doing today. And I've read through that chapter, and I've never really seen that quite like he read it there. But before we get started with our slide and our video, I'm gonna look back at that real quick. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to reference to it. It's Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. I looked at it and amplified. I almost ran around the church a while ago during the offering. I don't want to knock anybody's offering out the hand, though, so I just kind of I held it back a little bit. Amen. I did that one time. I was telling Brother Levi the other day, I got excited at youth camp one time. It's about 15 years ago. Maybe longer. No, it's longer than that. 20 years ago. Anyway, I got excited. Running around the church, man, I run through there, and they had a stack of chairs set up in the back of the room. I shouldn't even tell this to myself. I run it through there, man, arms flailing. Woo, I was praising the Lord to come around there, and I hit the top of that stack of chairs. I got a scar right here to show for it. It busted the side of my hand open, and I was like, thank you, Jesus. I was walking around. Woo, they thought I was in the spirit, man, but I done got out of the spirit and got over in the flesh. I was, amen. So sometimes you got it, you know, sometimes you're just excited, and sometimes you're in the spirit. But, you know, Brother Hagin, he always said there's plenty of old wet dish rags put out any fire. Amen. There's going to be some wet cloth somewhere that's going to jump on and try to put a fire out. So I didn't run, but I was excited. Now, this, an amplified version here, Philippians 2, verse 15, it says, so let those of us who are spiritually mature, is that where I want to go? Let me see right here. Yeah. Go on down to, what verse was you reading, brother? I was excited about it and I can't find it. Was it chapter 2, wasn't it? Yeah, 2:15. But then it goes on down and says, for many of you whom I'm often now, let's see. Well, he's talking about being holy, being pure, being blameless. Somebody help me out. Verse 15, sure. Where's that at? Oh, no wonder I'm in chapter 3. That'll help me. I'm just wondering if my Bible changed on me. I thought y'all playing a trick on me. I was like, I know I'm looking at verse 15. Come on. Y'all don't be a hard crowd on me today. That's my one mistake for today. So it says that you may show yourselves to be blameless and guileless and innocent and uncontaminated children of God without blemish. Now, see, your mind can't wrap hold of this. That's reading it's all about the blood of Jesus. It's not about how good you can be, and it's not about how bad you've been in the past. It's about what Jesus has done for you and about what you receive and about what you believe. Glory to God. I missed some good stuff, right? This is worth coming for right here. We ain't even got started after I found the right scripture. So it said, uncontaminated children of God without blemish, you've been made faultless, unrebukable in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you are seen as bright lights, stars, and beacons shining out clearly in the dark world. Man. Amen. Hallelujah. Children of God without blemish, faultless, unrebukable. Think about that just a minute. Do we see ourselves today? That we're called to be a light in a dark world. And that's who we are. And what I'm going to be sharing with you today is it's about missions. And you're going to get kind of an inside look at what we do when we go to Peru. I got some video of inside some houses and things that you'll get to see of the people that actually live in the mountains. And we got some children that stayed in with us, and I believe they'll enjoy it. But as we do that, what I want you to see is this. Whether you call it to the mission field, or whether you live in Jemison, Alabama, or Clanton, Alabama, or Columbiana, or wherever you're from today, you're called to go into all the world. Right. Amen? And you are the light of the world. It's not a question of, do I want to be? You are the light of the world. Now you say, I may not be shining very bright, but that's the thing of it is, what mentality do you have about yourself? Are you blameless? Are you faultless? Amen. Are you worthy for the Spirit of God to live in and talk? The answer is yes. Why? Because Jesus already died on the cross. He's already done it, and he's laid it to your account. When you got born again, you jumped over inside of Jesus. And now you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. So everything God is, he is on inside of you. Now your mind can't keep up with that, because your mind think, well, you don't know how I acted last week. Or your mind think, well, you know, I might even talk ugly to my wife this morning. Or your mind may say, you know, I had a thought that maybe didn't line up with the word, so how could that be? Well, see, it's not based on who we are in the flesh, but it's based on who we are, the real man on the inside. Amen. That's been made a brand new creation. Amen. The old man is gone, completely destroyed, can't be put back together, and there's a new man that lives, and that new man is full of God. Amen. Top to bottom, side to side. Amen. Full of God. That's where he lives. That's where he resides today. So if you ever wonder where God is, I go back to what Pastor Buzzy used to say. He said, if you want to look up where God is, he lives on 404 Buzzy Street. So where does God live? He lives wherever your address is. That's where God lives. Amen. And that's how much he loves you. Amen. Amen. So if you ever doubt your purpose, if you ever doubt your calling, go back to this one thing. And I don't have this. It's a whole other message. And I don't have time to, I believe I have an opportunity later to get into more deep in what I'm talking about, because I want to share with you today about a trip, and I've got a limited amount of time to do that. We're going to have to get with it. But what I want you to understand is this, is if you ever doubt your calling, if you ever doubt your purpose, know this, that you're a son or a daughter of God. Amen. And all God requires of you is to be a son or a daughter of God. Amen. 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 That's all he ever asks you to be. And in being that son or daughter, oh, hallelujah. Just be a son. And guess what? Just be a daughter, and what's going to happen? The light that you just read about, the one that's faultless and blameless, then that light of God and his word will begin to bubble and flow out of the inside of you. Why? Because you're a son. Right. Amen. Amen. Because you're a son. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody say, I'm a son.
I'm a son.
And that includes you if you're a daughter. Amen. Lord. We're sons of God. You know, people, we've heard this for years, and I'm really tired of hearing it. I believe we're in revival now, right? Amen. You know, people talk about there's a revival coming, and there's a great this and a great that. And I understand different seasons and times. I understand those things. But I also believe this, and in Romans 8 it talks about it. It says that the whole earth is groaning and waiting for the manifestations of the Son of God. The Amplified says that they're waiting for the full disclosure of their sonship. So guess what? I believe that, I believe there's an end-time harvest. I believe that there's an end-time early and a latter rain. I understand the purpose and principles of that, but I also know this, is that when sons and daughters rise up in their sonship of who they are and begin to allow who they are on the inside to come out, then revival's on.
Amen.
Amen. Because it starts at home. It starts at the neighbor's house. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. It starts at the mall. It starts at the grocery store.
Amen.
You don't have to wait till you get on the mission field. There's a mission field right outside these doors.
Amen.
In fact, I've been to a church one time, and you pull out of the parking lot, it says you've just now entered the mission field.
Amen.
They got a sign up at the exit. Said you just now entered the mission field. And that's the truth. So it's not just in Peru that you're going to get to see, but it's when you leave these grounds, you're on the mission field. So you are called to be a light to the world, and you are. So you're never insignificant. So don't ever feel that way. You're important. You're the body of Christ. How could you be insignificant if you're the body of Christ? If you're the one that God chose to be his ambassador in this earth, if you're the one that God chose, we don't have time to get into this. All these are scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5, but it talks about the ministry of reconciliation and that you are an ambassador in this earth. How can you be insignificant if you're an ambassador for the Most High God?
Amen.
Amen. And so you can take that same message and tell someone else. In fact, that's what the ministry of reconciliation is. You reconcile people back to God. You reckon Pastor got on this Wednesday night, you reconcile them to the love of God. You reconcile them to the healing power of God. Someone that's lived in sin and been in bondage, and we're to reconcile them back to the grace of God. Amen. Jesus has already died. I have a tract birthed on inside of my heart that God put in there, and I've got it on my counter, and he's almost got on me. You know, you have to get on your kids every once in a while. He's got on me about writing it, and I've got to write it. But you know, God has done everything. It doesn't matter how someone's lived. He's paid the price and done everything that it takes for them to be a child of God. And all they got to do is receive it. It's a free gift. Amen. But we've got to be the one to tell it. Amen. So I'm going to read a scripture, and then we're going to get right in here. It's Mark. You couldn't talk about missions without going to this verse. You know where I'm going. Most of you do. It's Mark 16 and verse 15. Mark 16, 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. The Amplified said, he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news of the gospel to every creature of the whole human race. Amen. So that means next door. Amen. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, how many of you can bake a cake? How many of you can attempt to bake a cake? Amen. How many of you can wash a car? Amen. How many of you can cook a meal? How many of you can give an encouraging word? How many of you can smile? If you can't, I'm going to do like Pastor said, you sleep with a coat hanger. Go to bed tonight with a coat hanging in your mouth, and you wake up, and you have your nice smile. Amen. Well, see, you can actually be a missionary to your neighbor by giving them a smile, an encouraging word. In fact, they don't care about how much you know. People are hurting. When people are hurting and going through things, they don't want to know what you know. They're focused on themselves and what they're going through. But if you go over there and you got a few dollars, if you go in there and you got a cake, if you go in there and you got an encouraging word, if you got to go over there and you put some light in their darkness, do you hear me today? Amen. Then they start to open up and they say, oh, well, there's something different about this person. What is it? There must be something different about them. Amen. See, it's the love of God that draws men to repentance. It's not the judgment of God. Amen. God's put his judgment on Jesus on the cross. Yes. The wrath of God was poured out on Jesus. Thank God. Thank God it's not on us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, it's the love of God that draws men to repentance. Amen. So real quick, I'm going to give you a short history. Real short history. I'm going to condense it as fast as I can. A lot of you know Missionary C, Ronald C. I connected myself with him about. I've known him for years and years. But we believe we were called to go and unite together. Part of our ministry is to partner together with him to actually go to Peru. Some people send, some people go. The Lord dealt with me many years ago that he said, you're going to be one that's going to go here and there, different places. I believe I'm called to right where I'm standing and good old state of Alabama to different parts of the earth. But some people's willing to go. Some people are willing to sin. But he said, you're going to go places that some people don't want to go. You know, on this trip, you're going to see there's a lot of things. I started with this one because we're having fun and laughing. And Missionary C there, he told one of his jokes, and I can't. And man, they was laughing and having a good time. But we went through some challenges. You eat some food that's not like you eat around here. You sleep in some places that's not like your bed. Amen. You're around some things that's not very comfortable. You go through some obstacles. When I was in Bangladesh, I woke up 5 in the morning to get ready. I'm in the shower washing my hair, and I hear the call to prayer over the loudspeaker of the city. And it's the Muslim call to prayer 5 times a day. And when you're I think it was 95% Muslim religion in Bangladesh, and you're less than 0.5% Christian in the nation, and you're in there washing your hair, and you hear, whoa, you know, and all this weird stuff going on. You know, it can be a little unnerving to your flesh. But I just looked at it like this, as I'm an ambassador for Christ, I'm an agent undercover. Amen. And we went right in the middle of a Muslim nation. Glory be to God. We had a team of 42 people. By the end of the week, over 17,000 documented salvations. Documented. Names, numbers to follow up. They had 22,000 follow-up cards with names and addresses of places to go and follow up with these people. And we're still getting reports from it. Whole families are getting saved. They had one person come to the outreach, and they go back to follow up with that one person, and the entire family wind up getting saved. Amen. 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 So, whether you went, whether you called to go, you called to sin, we're all called to go somewhere into the earth. So your neighbor, amen, wherever it is. So a little bit of a history there of Ronald C. Ministries as far as when he was called to Peru somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 years ago. Some of you heard the story. I'm going to go through it real quick. Somewhere over 12 years ago, he was down in Peru, and he was in a boat on the Amazon River with a pastor there. Didn't even really know why he was even called to Peru. He just had his heart to go. He was there on a boat, and the pastor, they was actually fishing, which I'm going to do one day on the Amazon. There's some rainbow bass I've heard that are there, and they put up a fight better than some of the bass here. Y'all heard of them, brother? I see you smiling. And but anyway, he was there, and they were doing some fishing. Well, while they were on the boat, the pastor got a phone call. And the phone call was from the government of Peru. And the government said, we need some help in the mountain regions of Peru, up in Cusco, and that's where we go. And they said there's kids dying there. The babies are freezing to death. They don't have adequate clothing, food, nutrition. We saw some little three-year-old girls that looked like they were about 1.5 because they just don't have the nutrition that they need to grow. And they have stunted growth, all kind of things, you know. So Pastor C was on the boat, and he heard that. And immediately the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and he said, you need a help. You need to be a part of it. Well, there was a church back in the, and this is the way American churches think. There was a church back in the U.S. before he went that told him, said, now, Brother C, when you get down there, if you see any needs, now this is the way the American churches think. He said, when you get down there, if you see any needs, let us know. You know, Brother Dennis has been with me. You don't have to look very far when there's 40, 50 dogs on every corner eating the trash, and then there's people in the middle of them digging through it with them. There's needs everywhere. But he remembered what the pastor told him, so he called the church and said, well, we found a need. And he said, good. He said, we're going to wire the money to you, and you do what you believe the Holy Spirit says to do with it. Well, he went, and he bought 100 blankets. 100 blankets. And he went with that pastor, and he went up to the mountain, and he gave out the 100 blankets, and he said, I'll never forget the last blanket. I got to the 99, and I got to the 100, and he said, I looked up, and he said, as far as I could see, there was still a line of people there waiting to get a blanket. And he said, it did something to me. And he said, I made a commitment. He said, I'll never go to a village if I don't have enough supplies to give every person in that village something that they need that we came with. If we don't have enough, we won't go. See, we'll just skip it and go somewhere else. So that's kind of how it got birthed. And that was about 12 years ago. Well, I connected with him about 5 years ago. Actually, it was five. This was completed my fifth trip. And just to give you a few numbers here, this year we gave away 1,600 blankets. So that was 1,600 individuals that received a warm blanket. And you'll see some pictures of them. To them, it's life and death. You know, to us, we think we've got a closet full of blankets that Granny had and Uncle whoever got left to us. And, you know, we're just blankets a blanket. But to these people, it's life and death. To these people, it's the love of God manifested to them, and they see that this person cares. In fact, we had a teacher one time that gave a testimony there, and he said, we've heard that people in America love God. He said, we've heard that. We've heard the stories about Christians coming from America, missionaries going here and there. But, I mean, these people are high. These people are, you know, somewhere around, I think, where we are sitting here today, you're around 600 feet above sea level somewhere. So you need to add about 15,500 more feet to the top of where you're sitting right now. And then you'll get up to where some of these people live. 15,500 plus where you're sitting now to get up to where they are. So that's high. So they don't have visitors, you know. They don't have Meals on Wheels. You know, they don't have people come by just to give to them. They don't get these visitors. So this teacher said, he said, we've heard there's people in America that love God, but he said, but now we know. He said, now we see it. Now we know that you love God and that God loves us because we took something tangible that they could hold and feel and to keep them warm. So we gave out 1,600 blankets. We gave away 1,000 Peruvian hats. We'll get started here in just a second. 1,000 gloves. We gave away 300 pairs of shoes. And this is an area that we want to increase. But these are brand new shoes. They're mountain boots, hiking boots. You'll get to see them. They have the child's name on it, on the shoe when we get in the villages. There's a guy named Moses that goes ahead and he gets the children's names and the shoe sizes. We have them made ahead of time and we give them out. And it's amazing to see these kids. I'm telling you, every time I go, every time it's never failed. The love of God manifests on the top of that mountain in a way that I can't explain. And when I see those little kids, I told myself I won't get emotional, but I can't help it sometimes. But when I see those kids come through that line and they have their blanket and their hat and their gloves and their New Testament Bible in their language, and we give them a toy and we give them some sunscreen from the face, and they walk through that line and just a smile that's on their face, then what happens is the love of God manifests in a way. He said, "This is my love. Right. If you want a picture of my love, then look at this. This is it. Amen. And you don't have to wait till you get to the mountains of Peru. Amen. The things that Michelle and Jamie do, and the ones that help them, and we've done our best to be involved when we can, and that's part of my heart, is touching people. And we picked a man. I remember one day we picked a man up off the back of an old train station in the back of Birmingham one day, thought he was dead. Almost had to shake him to see if he'd wake up, you know. But we finally got him awake, gave him a cup of coffee, and brought him over there. And what I call that stuff beefaroni. I don't know what it was, but some noodles and stuff, you know. And he had the hot plate there on the propane tank, and we heated it up. And that old man was up in age. He had lost his job, and he was living in a parking deck. And he told him, he said, "Look, I'm not. I appreciate all this," he said, "but I'm not here because I choose to be." He wasn't a drug addict. He wasn't a drunk, but he was there because of circumstances, situations. And he said, "I'm putting all my money aside that I can to get me another apartment." And he had a job, but tears. He stood there that cold morning eating that beefaroni and tears streaming down both sides of his face because the love of God was shown to him in a way that was practical that he could see it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't mean to say as much as I'm saying. If we don't get through with the video, we won't get through with it. But I want to tell you this. Sometimes we get so consumed with what if and why not and why didn't this do this and why didn't this and why didn't this person do particular things. You know, a lot of times you're just a victim of decisions that other people made. Do you know that? Sometimes you got into a mess that really was because of a decision that somebody else made. But you know what? You got to make a decision that are you a victim or are you a victor? Amen. Do you have victory over the circumstance or are you caught in the middle of the circumstance? Amen. But if you'll just sell the fact of this is I'm a son and I'm a daughter, amen, and I'm called to be the light of the world, and everywhere that I go, I'm going to let that light shine. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, then I'm going to obey. And when you do that, then guess what? Heaven will manifest. It may not be in a lot of goosebumps. It may not be in you standing in front of a pulpit and preaching. It may not be, you know, on a mission field with thousands of people out in front of you and you're preaching the word of God. But if you'll be a son and you'll be a daughter and you'll take the goodness of God to the person that's in front of you, I'm telling you, the heaven will manifest. And those things that you thought would never come to pass, they'll just, you'll wake up one day and there they are. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's a whole, that's a whole other sermon. That's a testimony that I have that I'm going to share. Amen. Glory to God, because I've been there. I've been in the place where the devil said you're worthless. I've been in the place where the devil said you failed as a husband, father, minister, and a person, and the best thing you can do is drive your vehicle off on the side of the road and end it all, and your wife will be taken care of with the insurance money, and someone, she's young enough, someone to come along and take care of her, and you just failed at all different things and just end it. But the Spirit of God spoke to me through a missionary, and the missionary said this in the church when we were in Clinton. The missionary said, "The only thing you have to do to please God is to be a son." Do you hear me today? The only thing you have to do to please God is be a son. And when I got my eyes off of what ifs and why nots and why didn't this happen and why didn't that come to pass and why did they do this and why didn't they do that and all this other stuff, hallelujah, and I got my eyes on my Lord and Savior and what He made me to be and what He called me to be as a son, and I began to rest. And I pull up under the carport of after that service that day, I pull up under a carport of a home that I was losing. We had to get out with three kids. Do we have three? Two. I don't know. We have it. Two kids with third one in the making. Amen. But I was sitting in the carport of a house that I knew I had to leave. Didn't have much time to stay there. I'm talking about foreclosed, get out, can't stay. Where are we going to go? But God's faithful. Amen. And He provided. And He always will provide. Lost every vehicle that we had. They came in the neighborhood one day, and we told them we was bringing the vehicle back. They came in the neighborhood one day, hooked it up, and drug it all the way out of the neighborhood with the tire squealing. We didn't even take it out of the park. Drug it all the way through the neighborhood. Now, I'm a man of faith and power. You know, I'm a man, I'm believe God, trust God, and I'm this and that. I'm a Christian. I've been a children's pastor, youth pastor, associate pastor, pastor of the church. I've been on the mission field, but this was happening to me. Why? I'm in the middle of the will of God. Why is this happening? And I began to question and think, and all those things went on. And they drug it all the way out so all the neighbors could hear and see. You ever squealed your tires before? Taking off? Well, think about it. Driving about a mile from where our house was to 31 was probably about a mile. And they drug it all the way out with that going on. I've been in the shower with the water cut off while I had soap on my head. But you know, I had a choice to make. Instead of questioning why if and why not and why did all these things didn't work out, I had to settle the fact that it's not about what I do. God told me that day through that missionary, when I was sitting under the carport of the house that was being foreclosed on, I laid back in the van of in the seat of my truck, and the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, "Son, whether you're pastoring a church, you're on a mission field preaching to thousands, or you're right here helping in a local church and taking care of your family," he said, "I'm just as pleased with you either way." He said, "Because the only thing that you have to do to please me is to be my son." And when I began to rest in that and settle that fact and just be a son, I want to tell you things, but pieces, it didn't happen overnight. And as far as God's concerned, it's already done. But pieces began to come together and things were put together. And he gave me some direction about my business and about being involved in ministry and business. And things, pieces began to put together, We have a home, and I mean, things have been restored and all that's just stuff anyway. The most important thing is your relationship with God, number one. Number two, with your wife and with your family, if you're married. Amen? And all that stuff is just stuff. But it can be restored. It can be replaced. It's just stuff. But just be a son today. Amen? Just be a daughter today. Rest in the fact, and as you just begin to be a son, and what will happen, revival will sprout up here. Revival will sprout up there. Why? Because your cares are the light. Your cares are the kingdom of God. Amen. You're the body of Christ in the earth. You're ministers of reconciliation. So don't look at why does this not happen as fast as I wanted to. Don't look at what ifs and why nots and all these things. Just settle and rest in the fact, man, I'm a son. I'm going to get up today and I'm going to be a son. And you know what the scripture says for a son to do? The scripture says in the book of Romans, it says they that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. So there's two things that you're required to do. Two things you're required to do. One, the disciples asked Jesus, they said, "What must we do to work the works of God?" And what did he tell them? He said, "Believe." Amen. And the second thing is this. The second thing is simply be led of the Spirit of God. So believe and be led by the Spirit of God. That's the only two things you're required to do. The rest of it's already been done. Amen. The rest of it's a finished work. The rest of it's not based on how good you can be and how bad you've been in the past. You know the story of the prodigal son. There was one son that went out and ruined everything, but there was another son that stayed at home the entire time and thought he did everything right. But you know the one that did wrong and the one that did right, neither one of them was experiencing the blessing of the Father. Do you hear me today? Neither one experienced the blessing of the Father because one said, "I've just done so wrong and I've missed it and I failed. If I could just be a servant, just eat with the servants." And the father held nothing back. Man, he threw a party. He put the robe on him, put a ring on his feet and killed the fatted calf. He said, "Let's go." The other son got jealous and he said, "I've been here the whole time, Father." And he said, "But you never done this for me." And he said, "Well, all you have to do is just ask." He said, "All that I have has been available to you, but all you needed to do was ask." You see what I'm telling you today? So one had messed it up and blew it. That kept him, didn't keep him from the blessing. And the one that had been there the whole time doing everything right, that didn't get him into blessing. You see what I'm saying? So it's not about what we do and what we don't do, but it's about what he's already done. Amen. And just believing that and receiving that. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to move through this quick, but I believe the Holy Spirit wanted me to share those things today. Like I said, there's other things we could go into. We don't have the time to do it. But we gave away, adding on to what we gave, I was stuck on shoes. We gave 300 pairs of shoes and socks. We gave 300 bottles of sunscreen. 480 fidget spinners. How many of you thought fidget spinners was over with? Well, they are in the U.S., but in Peru, they love them. We gave 15 pounds of lollipops. And I mean, them people go crazy over a lollipop. Even the women jump in the middle of the pile to get a lollipop. Each person received literature in the Quechua language. When we speak in English, interpret it to Spanish, and it goes from Spanish to Quechua. Quechua is an ancient Peruvian language. But most importantly, salvations. People coming into the kingdom. There was estimated between 300 and 400 salvations. The numbers are still coming in because we're fresh off the trip. We hadn't got all the figures together. So 300 to 400 salvations. There was 30 to 35 documented, recorded healings that took place. One woman was in pain for over 10 years. Completely healed, no pain. There was a man with a bad shoulder. I'll show you his picture. And he came to me and he had a knife in his hand. He'd been working in the fields. He had a bad shoulder and pain. He got born again and healed in the same instance. Amen. So, hallelujah. Go ahead. We're going to start. I may say a couple things as we go. Go ahead and go to the next one. This is the beginning of our trip. This is landing in Cusco. You get out of the plane. You're at 10,500 feet. You can barely breathe. This is a restaurant that we enjoy going to, and that's the fragments of what was left of the sauce that we eat there. This is the team. This is the morning, first morning we're leaving out. We're getting the vehicles loaded up, ready to go out. That's the blankets and different things on the back of the trucks that we go in. We go up into some very high altitudes, and there'll be a couple of pictures on here showing the sides of the roads with no guardrails. Those two little items in the windshield there are a precious commodity. If you go on the mission field, you'll find it real quick. It's called toilet paper. pause it right there just a second. there was a breakfast right before that. When we go, we take our breakfast with us and eat on the go. And then when we get up in the mountains, the people that live in the mountains actually feed us. But it basically consists of bread and cheese and peanut butter. And that's the breakfast. Maybe a little bit of fruit. We met these people here. There was a lost flower child in Peru from the 70s. No, they were from Brazil, actually, and they were smoking some herb there, and we got to speak with them a little while and go on to the next one. This is actually out of the city, and we're headed into the village where we go. You can see the mountains and the snow. The temperature can change dramatically in just a few minutes. This is a little village down. This is the road that we're on, and that's the top of a house that you can see down there below. This is a pastor, very precious and dear to the trip. That's Moses I told you about that rides ahead on his motorcycle. It's a picture of a lake there. Beautiful scenery. This is our first stop. Some gentlemen there sitting. We're about to prepare preach the gospel. If you pause it right here just a second, this is one of the largest crowds we had. There was people all around in this little area here between two buildings. These are some school houses, and that's actually where people live. Some people live there in the back. But they're all gathered around, and we're presenting the gospel. And like I said, we preach in English. They transfer it into Spanish, and then it goes from Spanish to Quechua. So it's a little different to do, but people respond, and the Spirit of God moves, and it touches hearts. Go ahead. This is part of the gathering there that you just saw, our first outreach. This is missionary C. After I preach the gospel, he comes in. We switch, do different roles. He came in and actually was given the altar call
for all of eternity.
And you'll see the people that respond to the gospel.
¿Quiénes quisieran ir a ese lugar tan hermoso, de perfecta paz, de mucho gozo, donde no hay dolor, donde no hay enfermedad? ¿Quiénes quisieran? A ver, levanten su mano los que quisieran eso.
Y con esta rita, monanquiches, chay lugar, mana, guañi, pascantacho, mana, nanay, pascantacho, y un juez, pascantacho. A ver, maquillis, tocadiches.
Y con esta rita, monanquiches. Everyone, wave your hand.
A ver, tocadiches, maquillichista, mana.
Glory to God. Repeat this prayer after the translator.
Entonces, si tú has creído esta historia y crees que Jesús es el Hijo de Dios, queremos que repitas esta oración con nosotros. ¿Está bien? Podemos cerrar sus ojitos y va a repetir la oración.
Ya se canta genial que quiero ir a
Quipinata. Una solamente.
Repeat this prayer loud and clear from your heart.
Entonces van a repetir esta oración en voz alta y muy clara que se entienda.
Ya que está catechimanquiches, pero allí está rimanquiches fue.
I'm working on getting him an Auburn hat, but it hasn't worked yet.
Dear God, I believe with all my heart.
Amado Dios, yo creo con todo mi corazón.
Munaste Jesús. Munaste Jesús.
Say it loud.
Más fuerte.
A su fuertita. Munaste Jesús. Inin tu cuisun juego.
Can you slide it? Can you slide it to the next
page? Your son Jesus died on a cross for my sin.
So you just got to see a portion of where lead him in the prayer of salvation. And right here, starting after we do the ministry part, then we come through and give them the materials. This little girl here, they've got a blanket, shoes on their feet. The hat you see there is actually called a Peruvian hat. She's got a bottle of sunscreen. She's got some literature. They almost couldn't even hold it all. You'll see this one little boy come through, and he's like stuffing it around trying to get it. And they've got a Quechua Bible. That New Testament is in their language, in the Quechua language. You can go ahead.
Wow.
See, he's trying to stuff it on the whip. You got a fidget spinner.
Hey, some people can help over here with showing them how to put the cream on their face. You want to do that?
All right, this little guy here, see how he's walking kind of funny, has new boots. I mean, when you see those kids come through like that, it just, I'm telling you, the love of God, just it's tremendous to see it manifest like that. These kids are just so thankful.
Once they come through, we need to kind of move them. Can we move down?
Hey, matter of fact, you see the next segment, you can shift it ahead a little. All right, that's a meal there. When we get through in the village, they always want to feed us. So that's a typical meal in the village. It's a alpaca something. Rice, I don't know. Rice with it. You don't eat the tomatoes or the lettuce ever. Sometimes you eat a potato, they've got over 300 species or whatever you want to call it, varieties of potato. I mean, it's just amazing the potatoes that they grow. They dig them, they cook them in the ground, grow them in the ground, cook them in the ground, and they give them to you with ground all over them and other stuff on them too, and you kind of had to brush them off. I ate one year and took a bite, and there was a worm right in the middle of it. But that's alpaca. I used to call them alpaca cankles. I don't know if it's what it is, but anyway, you can go ahead.
Of the Lord
this
Jesus
is a
Christ.
Time of healing where we pray the healing prayer over people, and we don't interpret because we want to be led by the Spirit of God. There may be a kidney situation, there may be an eye, there may be whatever, and we want to be led by the Spirit when we pray healing. So we tell them we're not going to interpret the prayer, but we're going to speak to the sickness, and when we do, God is going to heal you. He's already paid the price, but God's going to heal you. And then we take testimonies after for people to sense the change in their body. So you can go ahead.
Sir, so today, Father God, we stand here as your representatives. We use the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. He's given us authority over all the enemy, over all sickness and disease. Therefore, we use that authority. And right now, in his name, I speak directly to sickness. I speak directly to disease. I speak directly to back problems and ailments. I speak to knees and ankles. I speak to stomach issues now in the name of Jesus. And I curse any parasites that would be there on the inside of the intestines or in the stomach. I speak to eyes now, and I command eyes to see clearly. I speak to ears, and I command ears to open and to hear normally. I speak to arthritis in hands and fingers, and I command arthritis to leave in the name of Jesus. Now I release the life of God to flow freely into every cell, every muscle, every joint, every tendon in these people and these children and in these women and in these gentlemen here. And I command their bodies to be whole and to be normal. Glory be to God. You said, Father, that when we preached your word, that signs would follow. So we thank you, Jesus, for signs of your word, glory to God, to manifest in our midst, for healing to manifest in our midst. Glory be to God for freedom. I declare freedom and liberty from any bondage. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Sickness is part of the curse. Therefore, I release these people from the curse of sickness. In Jesus'
name. Every village we go to, there's always the children set in a spot, then the women set in a spot, and then the men are always in a different spot. A lot of times the men aren't even there. A lot of the men are up in the mountains. What you're going to see here in just a second, there's two teachers that actually received healing are the two that responded to the healing prayer.
Ask if they sense the pain is gone or a change in their body to raise their hand. Can you come closer? Interpreter, come closer. We want to ask what change did he sense in his body?
Yo sentí un poco de dolor acá, como que desde antes tenía un poquito de lo, el líquido, como que me dolía la rodilla, Claro que no mucho, pero ahora está suave, suave.
So he had pain in his knee. Tell us one more time. He had pain in his knee.
He had pain in his knee and
sometimes swelling.
Yeah, a little bit swelling with the liquid and all that. And now
yeah, fluid on his knee.
Now the pain's gone. Glory to God.
And this other gentleman that comes up is a school, he's a, like the principal of the school. What he's telling us is he rides a motorcycle every day in the mountains and it's rough on his legs and his knees. And they stay away from their family all week long. And they go home on the weekends.
The pain is gone. Ask him to do what he couldn't do before. Can you bend his knee? Can you bend his knee? Glory adios. Glory adios.
It's completely gone. Completely left his body.
God is good.
And we had many other healings I told you about. One man had shoulder surgery. Couldn't lift his... I'll pause that just 1 second. He couldn't lift his shoulder up to about right here, and he was raising all the way up in the air, up and down. He was the one that got saved and healed at the same time. This is a bottle of the sunscreen, and that's in their languages, Jesus Munakasunki. That means Jesus loves you in the Quechua language, and that's what we had printed on the bottles. Go ahead. Little girls here got their fidget spinner and their sunscreen. This is us giving out blankets. Sometimes we have them come through the line. Sometimes we do it to them, depending on the size of the group. I want you to notice their faces. A lot of their faces are so damaged from the wind and the cold, but also they're so high in altitude that the sun really damages their skin as well. Some of them already started putting it on. Forward to the next one if you see the next clip there. You can keep going. I'm just showing them how to apply it. And here's a good shot of the girls there with the blankets on past this one. Shoes. Yeah, let that play. I think it's a video. There's a mom there helping. Yeah, the feet are just, all they really have are sandals. Some of them don't have shoes at all. See, grown men back here, they got blankets wrapped around them. And I'm telling you, they're extremely grateful for everything that they get. I see the mountain, how high we are up in the clouds there. This is Brother Saul, and you get to see some children's songs and things we did with them, ministered to the kids. Some of the adults got in the middle of it, and the adults were jumping around and dancing with them. They had a big time. They had to stick the tongue out.
Niños, vamos a cantar al ritmo de merengue. Habían sapos que nadaban en el río, río, río. Verde, 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 nadaba de frío, frío, frío. La señora zapa, 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 le contó, 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 contó.
That's some of the literature they receive. It's like stories on a child's level in their own language that they can read. Got his pack of shoes there. This is all girls jumping up there. That's all brand new, the mountain boots that they have. And this is the terrain that they live in. This, you see that ledge with the little weeds on it there? That was the side of the truck we were sitting on. And the house, the houses you see down, that's how high it were, the bottom of the valley there. That's all right, you just let it play. Yeah, that's fine. Here we got this lady getting into it. She was dancing with him. This was, we stopped to eat lunch, take a little break. And this was some alpacas that were passing through. Beautiful mountain stream down here. We got to sit inside and just take a little break. And it seemed like we're doing fine, but it's hard to breathe. We had about four people around this time right here that were altitude sickness. They had headaches. They were sick at their stomach. Some of them were getting out, having to relieve themselves from their stomach because of the pain and just the thing, the situation was going on. We had oxygen tanks with us because we're about six, we're a little over 16,000 feet of where we're at right here. And it can be tough, but thank God that he's given us the victory. And I didn't have time to go through some of the things that we dealt with. This is called Rainbow Mountain. Beautiful, as actual natural sands and things on top of the mountain to give it the color. This is Moses. If you pause that just a second, this is Moses, where we stopped on the side of the road. There was a group of people gathered. It wasn't a planned meeting. And we stopped, jumped out, and there's about 20 or 30 people here you'll get to see. And what we did, we told Moses, said, you got the show, just go with it, tell it, speak it all in Quechua. We got to go to the next village. So he did all the preaching and ministry. Several people got saved, and we was able to give them some blankets, too. So you can go ahead. We call these the mamas. This is mamas here. You see how they're dressed, and this, the skin and everything is so weathered. That's Saul that chopped his head off in the picture, but that's, he was holding a goat or sheep. This is one of the nicer places we stay in. That's actually a garden in the back of one of the hotels that we do actually have a couple of days. It's got some nice accommodations, so it's not all rough terrain. They're digging potatoes out of the ground here, and the dog's hoping he's going to get one. But they're digging them out of the ground, and, man, there's dogs everywhere down there. They just, you can't even, they'll attack you if you kick at them or tell them to get out of the way. That's a marketplace there. They're selling chickens and eggs. Make you want some chicken soup for lunch. This is Saul's wife and children. Now, I want to tell you something about some of the difficulties we face. This family right here, she's past 9 months pregnant in this picture. And while we were on this trip, Saul got a phone call and from his wife, said she was at the doctor for a checkup, and they said the baby actually had an umbilical cord around his neck, around her neck, and they were going to try to move her to another city to have the baby. She wasn't ready to have it yet, but he stayed with us. And the circumstances of what was going on, it wasn't like, you know, super emergency, but that still, he chose to stay with the mission and do what we were doing there in the mountains. And then go to the next, you'll see they have a beautiful, and it may stop there. The picture is different on the screen there, but that's the baby they've had born since. And this is going into one of the last areas that we went in. Because of the trip, like I said, I didn't get to go into some of the difficulties we faced. It's probably one of the most challenging trips, but it was also most one of the most rewarding trips that we've been on. But the first day that we even left the States, the flights got canceled, all of them. We couldn't go anywhere. So it put the whole trip off a day. So everything that we had planned in the mountains and the villages, all that had to be switched. So some of it didn't work out, like, because they just couldn't. They couldn't do all that. We couldn't even get communication to them, you know. So, but God worked, and in the scripture we stood on is all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And we have the victory. He's given us the victory through Christ Jesus. And we kept moving forward. We didn't let the obstacle stop us. And we kept moving forward because we know we were on a mission and there was a purpose for being there. So we didn't quit. And he had the baby. It's a healthy baby. But the reason that we're in the area that we're in right now that you're looking at is because of the trip that got set forth, and we're able to go to a place that we wouldn't even have been able to go to. So it really turned out good. You're going to get to see. So I'm just keep it rolling. I'll just talk for the sake of time. We've got about 10 minutes left.
Running by you.
Oh, my gosh.
These kids are so excited. They're chasing the van because they know we're coming with supplies. And they're chasing the vans all the way down to where that guy was there running right beside me.
Yeah.
You'll hear me say it in a minute. There's two or three kids that actually climb up on the van. It wasn't very safe.
See the kid up there? He's on the ladder on the side of the van.
Climbed up on the ladder.
Two or three or four of them hanging on there.
They just jumped on it. No girls on it.
So this is what we do. We pull up in the vans with the supplies. We pick out a place to do the ministry. Which was actually across this creek or small mountain stream there, and set up the ministry place where we do the ministry of the word, and then we give out the supplies. These were kids there. By this point, we didn't have any shoes left. We only have, at this trip, we had 300 shoes, so these children got blankets and hats and gloves and toys and that thing. Right here, they're attacking me because we gave them the spinners, and they're hugging me, and they actually start kissing me on my face. I had snot and everything else on me, and they was kind of attacking me. Now, this is a special time we had. This is in a village way up in the mountains. It's actually a Christian man and his wife that have a little place here. Her parents live here, and they got some critters in the mother's living quarters that look different, but she's making a blanket. You can let it play as I talk, because I know we're close on time.
Because what they first do is they take care of their
look at the designs.
Whoa.
Okay. Check out the designs.
They work on that about 4 hours a day. What she's trying to say is they do all their chores, and they work in the fields and everything else, take care of the kids. And they do this about 4 hours a day, and it takes up to 4 to 6 months to make what you see here.
Then they clean it.
No, luego la hilan como un hilo.
Then they make it like if it was
like elongated.
Yeah.
Y luego les dan colores con productos naturales.
Then they give it colors with natural products.
Plantas que tienen en su entorno. Insectos que tienen en su entorno.
With natural plants and or insects.
Wow.
They take the colors out of that.
Made from insects and made from natural flowers and plants, cactus, different things, and they take to make all those beautiful colors you see. They're actually burning it on the fire to make the color.
Vic's real. Thank you, real. Vic said.
La chica, ¿dónde está la chica? La chica es un arbusto.
The chilca is a type of plant.
Sí, una planta.
Verde.
Color verde, donde dan el color verde.
Which, that's where they get the color green from.
Okay, get the color green from that particular, whatever it is, food or vegetable or plant.
Mixed with salt and
mixed with lime, you can make different type of greens.
Is the chilca.
That's the type of plant called chilca.
¿Dónde está? Ah, aquí está. Aquí está. Sí, muéstrame esto, muéstrame tú. Y esto está así de tu mano. Aquí tengo un foto. Así muéstrame. De esta planta que sacan esos colores.
This is actually nice.
Hey, this is a
sleeping quarters we were in because they actually house some tourists that want to come and get to know what it's really like to be in Peru in the mountains, and this is a place where they come. So this, a lot of times we slept on dirt floors, on wooden floors, and on a alpaca skin. So this is actually nice.
No heat. Is it working?
There's not a drop of heat. So, and it gets down below 30. And colder, so we got about 4 blankets of wool, and each blanket's about that thick, so you stay warm. That's a rough step we got built coming down. Now I'm gonna take you into the kitchen, and you'll see some of the, they have some modern, you know, like a gas, they cook with gas and get some other things, but it's still pretty primitive. This was all at nighttime, they were getting ready for supper. After they showed us how they made the tapestries and the colors and all that.
Hola.
Hola.
Hola, señor.
I'm just telling him hello, and I'm going to ask him if I can take a picture in his kitchen.
Some photo, photo, por favor. Photo, see?
This is the kitchen.
Hola.
That's our supper in that bowl over there. There's some chicken, thank God.
Hola.
I have had guinea pig, and it's not too good. So we had chicken that night.
Pollo.
Pollo.
Pollo. Mano Sudiki.
Ask him what his name is.
Santos.
Santos. Sutimi Mateo.
Mateo.
I told him my name is Matthew.
Mucho gusto.
That's his daughter. She got the most beautiful smile. Put the kids to work now. Some of you kids in here, y'all pay attention.
Yeah.
See what? Oh, did y'all see him washing dishes?
Really?
Did it skip it? Yeah, it's one of these.
There's like 10 of them running around in there.
All right, now this is across the little, whatever you want to call it, there's a house over next to the one I was in. And this is the grandmother and the grandfather. He's on the floor. Yeah, and they tell us, just come on in. You know, I'm like, man, this guy on the floor.
The mother of Hostina.
The mother of Hostina.
Yeah, that's okay.
They got some
guinea pigs. Typical kitchen.
See?
Typical. Running around on the floor.
Typical.
Yeah.
What's is that sheep skin?
Yeah, this is the yam. This is alpaca, no? Or llama?
Oh,
llama.
Llama?
Llama. It's llama, it's sheep.
Oveja.
Oveja.
Where's the guinea pig? Over here?
There they are. That's a big one right there, boy. That's a granddaddy.
Cooey, cooey.
That'll feed 3 or 4 people.
Yeah, kidding.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Grande.
Yeah.
You're going to catch one.
Kitch?
You got it?
Kitch?
Oh, yeah. My God.
It's called cooey.
It's okay.
Down there, the word for guinea pig is cooey. It's like a delicatessen. I mean, it cost, we bought one in the city for everybody to just try a little piece, and I think it was about...
Pull it back.
18, 20 American dollars. That's how.
It's okay.
How expensive they are.
It's okay. It's okay.
What you
gonna eat? I'll get it on video.
What about raise the lamb in my yard? He's holding it.
Hola. I bought the hat for my daughter. If y'all wondering, but I had my hair was cold, so I put it on.
Hey.
Just a good my mom. There's a lady. There's a person here.
Hey. Mm. Ooh. Exactly like
give it a kid.
No,
oh
no, no.
Let me get a picture. Let
me
get
it. No.
Can I take a picture of me and the queen?
Hola, mama.
I tried to speak to her. She didn't really want to talk to me.
Mama Sadiki.
Mama
sabe show o que
é? Mas o tiki, mami?
Como sabe show o que é?
Luzca.
Ok. Sutimi Mateo. Mateo, sorry.
Sutimi Mateo. Wirakocha Mateo.
Here, a little stove there that's all made out of clay and
you cook?
Packed together with mud.
My papa.
The kui.
There's a kui.
Kui, kui. Kui, kui.
How you like those under your bed every night?
Kui, kui. Ooh, that's a big one.
Food tonight.
Yeah.
We were bonding.
I have a weird camera.
It'll taste better.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay, then again, because I think
I'm gonna put mine in some barbecue sauce.
Yours is okay. Being good. This one, that's
nice. That's
yeah,
right.
We should brought some ahi.
Sure, bro. Sure.
We need some ahi. My ahi. My
chocolate loud.
No, no, no.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Oh my goodness.
He's going.
This is why I wouldn't eat them. This is just a little fat. I don't know if I want to eat them.
They're from calling each other.
You know why I say Raul?
Yeah.
I have two Raul's in my
church. I may be thankful for your house.
Yes.
Sweet little baby that was outside.
Hello.
You want some tiki?
Yes.
Flor de lis.
Flor de lis.
Flor de lis?
Flor de lis.
Si. Si. So, Timmy Mateo.
Mateo.
Hola. ¿Y más su tiki?
Felicitas.
Si. Buenas noches.
Buenas noches.
They dressed us up in traditional Peruvian style. We had us a good, bonfire and actually sang some songs. Little girls, the Peruvian girls sang a few traditional songs, and then we sang some worship songs. None of this would have happened if our trip hadn't been postponed. We wouldn't have gotten to do this particular night. We'd have been in a hotel. But because the reservation couldn't be changed, we stayed where we did. I'm thankful for that. This was inside of that kitchen that it's where we actually ate supper. That's the little daughter again. The reason I've got this kind of off-centered, if you notice up on the mountain there on the side of the hill, we're getting set up for our morning meeting. And these people are coming. See that guy running out of the trees at the top? These people are coming down all. That's what happens is you show up and there's like maybe 10 or 15 people. And by the time you get the blanket set up and all your supplies and everything together, people come out from, I don't know where they come from. I mean, they come from everywhere, out of the hills, the trees. And there's another one there. You see another one coming down. Yeah, some of the places they have. Like that village we were in, it had, you know, they have like one light bulb in a room, or some of them don't have any power. Dennis and I went, we was in there and they didn't have any power. At one village, the school didn't have, they had to stop school at fifth grade because they had no power. Showing videos and things, they couldn't get past that. This is a cute little video. We're almost through. How many? It's a little bit more. 2 minutes. So we're almost done. The gentleman there in the middle is the one that got healed. So I was telling you, there was many obstacles. This was one of them. Supply van got stuck in the river there, in the creek, whatever you want to call it. It's coming down out of the mountain, very cold water. So we weren't too quick to jump in and push. But villagers got in, moved some rocks and things, got us out. We had the Saul that you saw in the video that was holding the guinea pigs. He was actually intercepted by the police one night driving a supply van. They held him for 6 hours. He didn't get any sleep. He met us at 4 o'clock the next morning. They let him go at 4. You see the edge of the road? That's me with my camera out the window. So that's... if you don't have a prayer life, you'll have one by the time you get to the top of the mountain. All the roads aren't like that. Then we had some fun time. That's a statue of Jesus there, the picture I took. Yeah, I'm going to finish it about the police. Thank you. Yeah. This is looking over Cusco. We were at a place called Sexy Wama. Not Sexy Woman, but Sexy Wama. And we make a joke about that, but it's called Sexy Wama. And it overlooks the entire city of Cusco. It's actually ancient Inca Indian civilization. This is a natural rock bridge. It's pretty cool. Brakes on the road. Brakes on the road. And there is your guinea pig. We've tried it. It's not the best. And this is what I ended with. This is what it's all about. There's a young man here praying, receiving the Lord. And that's what the whole purpose of the mission. Jesus gave his all. And so that men could come to know him, gave his best in Jesus, God the Father. So that's the reason we go, so people can hear and the gospel could be sent. And my wife reminded me, or I guess, was it you that reminded me? But what happened there is he got stopped. We were heading over to the second segment of our trip. He got pulled over by the police, and they just, you know, they're corrupt down there, so they wanted to see documents of the blankets and where you bought them, how much you paid, and all that. He didn't have anything with him. And so they held him from, it was like 10 o'clock at night to 4 in the morning. And the only reason they let him go was is he had to give them the blankets are in bundles, like almost like a bale of hay, but they're in plastic bundles, and he had to give them a bundle of blankets, which is 50 blankets. He had to give them to the police before they let him go. So he did that, and then they let him go, and he came on and met us. But there are several obstacles that went through. Flight delay, like I mentioned, altitude sickness, dehydration. The tire blew out on the van one day. The van was overheating in the mountains one day. Van got stuck in the stream one day. Police held the driver. I told you about the Saul's wife. Then about 3 days before the trip was over, Brother Bo's back went out. He'd been over putting a shoe on his back. His back went out. And then he got a parasite and stayed up all night with the chills. And I doctored him up and laid hands on him. And he stayed an extra 2 weeks finishing some other things, but it was a success. He got to finish it. But, you know, the scripture that I used on that, and I put it on Facebook to remind the guys, it was 2 Corinthians 2:14, says, "But thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph through Jesus Christ our Lord." And, you know, you have obstacles in life, and I'm closing with this. It's 5-6 minutes after 12, so we're done. But I just want to encourage you that no matter what obstacles you face, don't quit, don't give up, keep going, keep moving forward, because God has a plan. And this trip was like a microcosm of life that we could have quit on the very front. We said, you know, because at one point we were going to be 2 days late. And we're like, well, why does it even matter to go now? Everything's all off, but we didn't quit. We didn't give up. But that's what obstacles are designed to do. They're designed to make you quit and throw in the towel before you even get started, because Satan doesn't want you to even start. Amen? An obstacle is a thing that blocks your way. It prevents or hinders progress. A synonym for obstacle is a barrier, a hurdle, a stumbling block, a hindrance, a snag, a catch, a drawback, a deterrent, a handicap, a complication, a clog. Have you ever felt like you was clogged before? You was in a place, it just seemed like, you know, that's what an obstacle is. It's an encumbrance. Another synonym, and I thought this was pretty neat, is a mountain. Even going to where we went was an obstacle, to go that high. A joker, a crimp, like a crimp in a hose, a catch-22, a booby trap. You ever been felt like you got caught in a booby trap? Or a monkey wrench got thrown in the situation. That's what an obstacle is. Satan does not want you to fulfill the plan of God in any instance. So he wants you to quit. He wants you to give up and give in on the obstacles. But we're not going to quit. We're going to be who God made us to be. Amen. And remind yourself every day that you're a child, you're a son or a daughter. I got this in a business meet one time, and I keep it in my office to remind me. It's a little goopy thing. And his name is Obstacles, which is another word for obstacles. And I keep it on my bookshelf, and I look at it every once in a while. So see, now how retarded is a, you know, you think about that. This little guy is going to stop me from living my dream. This little guy is going to stop me from fulfilling the plan of God on my life. This little guy right here is going to make me throw in the towel and give up and quit because it didn't happen in a time I thought it was supposed to happen. This little guy is going to make me quit because God said this, but because of things that happened, what I've been through and what other people have done or hadn't done, it hadn't happened the way I thought it would, so I'm going to give up and quit. No, that's called an obstacle, and don't listen to him. So that's the reason I keep it and look at it and see. I mean, it's pretty. You think, now, how can that look? Goofy thing. You know, how could he stop me from living my dream? And that's the guy's point. And he had him there at the business meeting I went to remind you. That's not a superhero, is it? No. I don't like he could do much. The bobblehead. I just pick him up every once in a while. I said, no, I'm not going to listen to the obstacles. They're not going to keep me back. They're not going to hold me back, but I'm going to press toward the mark of the high calling. Amen. In Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm not going to quit. Everybody say that with me. Say, I'm not going to quit. Amen. Well, let's pray real quick, and then we're going to be dismissed. Father, we thank you today for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. And Father, I just pray today that as people have seen some of the testimonies and things that's happened, what you've done for your people there in Peru, I thank you, Lord God, it'll make an impact and imprint upon their heart, Father, not only for missions worldwide, but also, Father, for the person next door, for the lady down the street, for the young man that may not have a father, or for the young girl that's been abused and been a victim, for the grandmother that may not have any grandchildren or family around but needs someone to visit her, to take care, just to stop in and say, hey, you're important. Father, I just ask you to stir in our hearts today the importance that we are truly your hands and your feet. So no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, if we'll focus on who you've made us as a son or a daughter, then all the other things will fall into place. So it truly is the truth that you said in your word in Matthew 6:33, that if we would seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, then all these things would be added, Father. We praise you, we thank you, we give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen.